So y'all must be thinking I'm going to go long today. I'm getting up here early this morning. Everybody good? Good morning. Good morning to you. So for the last few weeks, we have been going through a series called Parched. When your life is lousy and your well is dry. Your well is dry. And as we said, and as you've told us, Michael in particular, since he's been the one preaching, you've told us that many of you can relate to that feeling that life is hard. You've shared that with us. Maybe life is even lousy. Maybe you've had a loss of a job, loss of a loved one. You're battling sickness. Your marriage is falling apart. You're depressed. You're lonely. And there just doesn't seem to be any end in sight. Whatever it may be, remember, you're not the first, and you're certainly not alone. And that's not easy to hear sometimes when you're walking in that season. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was up at 4 a.m. this morning tossing and turning because I haven't had to walk in your shoes, many people's shoes who are going through extreme times of trial in their life. I just haven't had to do that. So I had to really wrestle with the Lord on that last night. You know, our prayer is that over the course of these past few weeks that you have been reminded of God's firm promise, of His presence, of His faithfulness, of His grace through it all. As we've said, we were never promised a life without pain and without suffering. It just never happened. But what we were promised is that God's love and that God's grace is enough to carry us through any and all circumstances until the day we see Jesus face to face. Because what we remember is that Jesus is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. So this week we'll not only look at how God's grace is enough to carry us through any and all circumstances, but we'll also see and learn how to be content and at peace in the midst of it. So I invite you to turn to Paul's word to the Philippians. Again, this week we're going to go to chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 11 and go to 13. And again, I want you to keep in mind that Paul is writing from prison. He's shackled in chains. That would be, for most of us, a pretty lousy day, wouldn't it? But listen to what Paul says. Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. Repeat this with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, through Him who strengthens me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as I thought about this message, a friend of mine from a few years ago, a good friend of mine came to mind, and he died of cancer. His name is Dan Nichols. He used to come to worship all the time. He's such a faithful member of our church. He would come to church after being in the hospital sometimes at night, like all night. Like he would come in just looking really sick and really weak. Sometimes he would even have a little bit of blood around his mouth. It was amazing. We would marvel at his faithfulness. But he just loved to be in worship. He was so faithful. He would come to our men's Bible study sometimes, just barely able to walk in. But you know what was amazing about him? Is he always had joy on his face. Always. You know, he was such an inspiration. You know, and on his deathbed, I was talking with him. And he said, you know, if I get to go home and be with my girls, I'm good. And if I get to go home and be with Jesus, I'm good. I'm content. I'm at peace. See, Paul's also had to learn this contentment. And so did Dan, my friend. It says in verse 11, I've learned to be content with whatever I have. Now, contentment is a challenge for us here in America, okay? Especially in places of affluence and especially in places of wealth, which is really what Paul is addressing here, which is material stuff. You know, we live in a world and in a culture that is more entertained, where things are available at our fingertips than in the history of mankind. I mean, Uber Eats can deliver Taco Bell to your door. You know, I don't know what would happen to me if that happened, if that was available in college. I'd be bigger than this stage. You know what I mean? Goodness gracious. Seriously, we live in a culture that has to be entertained constantly, constantly. Me, 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 me. And yet, what are we most of the time, generally? We're bored and we're frustrated. Paul had learned to be content in all circumstances. And mysteriously and miraculously, so can we. How? By transforming the word content into a more Christ-centered redefinition that is rooted in the eternal God rather than the temporal self and in the temporal stuff. Because temporary stuff fades. We know this. Temporary stuff fades. But God is forever. God is forever. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Philippian church. One of Paul's converts was a woman named Lydia, and she was wealthy. And in fact, you know, the church at Philippi set up in her house. That must have been pretty cool. Paul probably ate pretty good up in Lydia's house, you know, had some wine, maybe a filet mignon, I don't know. But you know, he says in verse 12 that he knows what it is to have little and what it is to have plenty. And you know what he says? I'm good either way. I'm good either way. And how do we know that? Because it says that the next day, you know, he leaves that comfort. He leaves that luxury of Lydia's house and he surrenders it to God. And he goes out to proclaim the gospel some more and he gets arrested after converting another person, a demon-possessed slave girl, a fortune teller who was making money for the city. And they didn't like that, so they threw him in jail and they beat him and they bloodied him up. So we know that's his heart. Think about Paul. He was in Lydia's house, living in luxury, and he was good. And now he's in jail, bloody and beaten, and he's good. He's good. You know, if we were to read the book of Acts, we would see a more clear picture of this, because we know that Paul rejoiced, because there's an account in the book of Acts that tells about it. He says, when they were in prison that night with his partner Silas, they sang hymns all night. And at the sound of that rejoicing, there was an earthquake that shook the walls of the jail cells. And you know what also it shook open? The jailer's heart. And he, the jailer, and his entire household were converted that very night. You see, God can do miraculous things and good things through bad circumstances. Amen. Paul says again in verse 12, if in any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, and of having plenty and in being in need. And the secret is this. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Now, I don't know if there's a more misquoted verse in the Bible than Philippians 4:13. This verse does not mean that you can do everything you want to do. Do you want to fly an airplane? Well, work hard and go to flight school, but please don't get behind the controls of an airline jet saying, I can do all things through Christ. You know, if you're a terrible golfer like me, and you want to shoot 65, well, don't say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I'm such a terrible witness for Christ. You know, I just don't have that gift. Philippians 4:13 means, as Paul says, that I've learned what it means to have plenty And I've learned what it means to have little. And either way, it just doesn't matter. In the end, it doesn't matter because circumstances don't matter in the end. They don't define who we are. It is Christ that defines us. It is Him who strengthens us. It is Christ that has called us His own. It is Christ that will give us all we need because we know that Christ has called us for a purpose, for this purpose, in this season, He has called us. And it is His glory that we live for in that season, in this season, whatever it may be. And in all things, I surrender. I surrender. And I'm at peace. And I'm content. Anybody not know who Tim Tebow is? I'm not going to make you raise your hand because that would be bad. Anyway, former Florida Gator quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner. He, one day before a football game, most of his teammates put black under their eyes and they had their area code on it or something like that. And he said, "What can I do that would be cool?" You know, because he's a big Christian. "Yeah, I know. I'll put Philippians 4:13 on my cheeks." And that day he went out there and he played the game. And later on, it was reported by Google that 90-something million hits on that verse after that game. That's awesome, isn't it? Pretty cool. But here's the thing that I want to stress. I saw an interview with him recently where he was talking about that. And he said he wore it because he wanted Christ to strengthen him to win the national championship, he and his team. You know, that sounds like a good football verse. "I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Everybody's seen Tebow just like, ah! You know, he's kind of a burly dude, you know, like that. It's a good football verse. And they did win the national championship that year. They did. But his dream, as he said, was to make it to the NFL. Did Christ strengthen him to make it in the NFL? No. No. And you know what? Tim says, while it's still disappointing, he has learned the secret of being content and being at peace with it. And it's this, that he says that in whatever circumstances that God has put him in right now in this season is for God's glory and God's glory alone. It's not for Tim's. He surrendered to that. Tim is going to do whatever God has called him to do and be fine with it and be good with it and be content with it and be at peace with that. And he shares that with so many people around the world. So that means for us, if we're wealthy, if we're healthy, that we live radically generous lives with all, and we push the kingdom of God forward with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our strength and with all our God-given resources through Christ who strengthens us. That's why Paul loved the Philippian church so much, because they were doing that. They were living that out faithfully. So that means also that we can immerse ourselves in the line of thinking that we can surrender any and everything at God's calling, because we've discovered that we, like Paul, can consider everything else as garbage in comparison to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus our Lord. That being said, if we're poor, if we're sick, if we're broken, we open our hands and say, "Lord, I trust you to provide for my every need because you're greater than my circumstances. You're greater than this season I'm walking in. And I trust that you will carry me through and sustain me because, yes, you are good. You're glorious and you're awesome and you love me and you call me your own. And you call me to this purpose and to this season. And I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Because I'm at peace. I'm content." This is a learned contentment. It doesn't come naturally for us to think this way. So don't feel bad if you're not there. Paul had poured himself for years and years and years into the Word of God. That Word of God that just was just flowing through his mind in all things. You know, like Psalm 63 that says, my lips are going to praise you, God, because your love is better than life. Maybe we should think about getting in the Word of God sometimes if we want to be content. Here's the thing. Paul was shipwrecked 4 times, arrested and beaten multiple times, run out of town on numerous occasions, hated and reviled, and ultimately beheaded. He says in 2 Corinthians 4 that we are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Paul had every reason to throw in the towel and say, Lord, I had it. I've had it. I just can't take anymore. I didn't sign up for this. But he didn't. In any circumstance, he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because Paul's identity was firmly rooted in Christ alone. In Christ alone. My hope is found. Right? He is my light, my joy, my strength. Christ, the one who emptied himself and left his heavenly home, as it says back in Philippians 2. He took on the form of a slave. You see, Christ knows what it means to be brought low too. As we heard last week, God does it too. God suffers too. He took the form of a slave. You know, he lived. Jesus lived. And then for the joy set before him, endured the cross so that he might rise again and bring us into eternal life and freedom in his name. Jesus is preparing a place for us, a place where there is no more weeping, there is no more pain, there is no more sorrow. And he's promised to come and take us to himself. And because of that good news, that gospel, we can be anchored in that promise and in that hope. He is the hope of glory. And because of that, we can be content. We can be at peace. A few weeks ago, I had an amazing conversation with Wes Sexton. He's an Advent Church member. Many of you know him. It was one of the more holy times I've spent lately, I can be honest with you. We both shed tears of worship as we told and shared each other's faith stories about how good God is. You know, Wes is battling ALS, and doctors haven't given him but a couple of years to live. Most people would say life is pretty lousy getting that kind of diagnosis, wouldn't they? And make no mistake, it's tough. But you know what? Wes rejoices in God, his Savior. We were over there the other day, and he's listening to praise and worship music as we're setting up stuff and talking with him. He rejoices, even as he battles. And because, why? How? Because he is firmly rooted in his identity in Christ. He's grown even closer to Christ. A sweeter communion. A sweeter communion. Because he knows in his heart of hearts that he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Whatever he is called to do. Now, Christ can miraculously heal Wes. He can. But you know what's amazing is that Wes says, even if he doesn't, I'm content. I'm at peace. You see, Wes has discovered and learned, like Paul, the secret. The secret is found in Christ alone. Yeah, I used to say of my friend Dan I was telling you about earlier, I would tell him as he come to church, I'd say, Dan, man, I hope if I ever have to go through something like you're going through, that I would just have half the faith that you display. Half of it. And he would always just kind of smile at me. He'd almost have a twinkle in his eye. He'd almost kind of wink at me. And he knew the secret too. The secret is that it's mysterious. The secret is it's mysterious. It doesn't make sense that to those that are outside the faith. It doesn't make sense that Wes can rejoice in God his Savior while he loses his bodily function. It doesn't make sense that Dan could have more joy in his life withering and dying of cancer than most people in the world. Take Tom Brady, for instance, as we're on the football subject today. Yeah, I don't know much about him personally, but I do know the dude has won a lot of Super Bowls. He lives a jet-setter life, superstar athlete. You know what he was quoted as saying? Is this it? Is this it? Is there more to life than this? He's not content. He's not content. You see, the secret of life is, and the mystery in all of this, is that contentment is not what we have. It's not what we do. It's not our circumstances. Our identity, our joy, our contentment is anchored in Christ alone. And then we will not be content until we learn to live for Him. And it's our choice. We have a choice of whether we're going to be content or not and live for Him. But Colossians 1:17 says that we were made by, through, and for Him. We were made for Him, not for us. To Him be the glory. Yeah, I'll leave you with this, church. This is the last thing I'm going to say. The great theologian, Forrest Gump. He once said, I want to see if you could complete the sentence. Life is a box of chocolates. Never know what you're going to get. You know, and there's some truth to that. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says it better in the Bible. He said, for everything, there is a season. For everything, there's a season. Weeping, laughing, mourning, dancing. And he goes on to say that God has made everything beautiful in His time. In His time. Everything beautiful. So that means at times many of us will experience abounding prosperity. Praise God for that. And glorify God for that with everything you have. And that also means that we will all experience really hard times, sometimes devastating times. Praise God through that. And glorify God through that. Because we can trust that God is making everything beautiful in His time. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank You for Your word that just pours out grace upon us and reminds us of Your faithfulness, of Your goodness, of Your love, of Your power to work in any and every circumstance. Lord, we open up our hands, we open up our hearts to Your word today, and we ask, God, that You would speak to us on how we will respond. Whether we're in a season of plenty, if we're in a season of plenty, then we pray to God that You would convict us to praise You for that and to glorify You with everything we have for that. And if, God, we are in a season of misery, in a season of life where we're just parched and our well is dry and we just don't know what to do, God, we pray that You would teach us to praise You through that and to glorify You through that, because we can trust Your promises that You are leading us by Your hand and that You love us and that You care for us. It's through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.